This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. That was a fun weekend. I don't know about you, but I just had fun from Friday night high school to Saturday night. I took my son to the ASU game, courtesy of a friend. And then yesterday, I was all over the place with basketball this weekend, being basketball dad. But yesterday, I did find my way to watch the entire Cardinals game against Tampa Bay. And when we have a weekend like this, if we were to think back 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, when Arizona State just got destroyed at Stanford, and they just looked awful. And the Cardinals were just spinning their wheels, looking horrendous. And then you turn it around to this weekend, and the energy from Adrian Peterson. Khalil Tate is just, he is so much fun to watch at Arizona, and good for Rich Rod. I'm really happy to see how the Wildcats are playing. I really am. And, you know, the ASU game was fun. It was a great atmosphere to watch, and the Sun Devils, the last time that I was in that stadium where they actually beat a team that was ranked in the top five, I was there. I was on the sidelines when they beat Nebraska. And it was funny that night because they tore the goalposts down and took them down into Tempe. Eric, you were around for that, weren't you? I mean, you were.
I was not.
You and I weren't together for that yet?
I was in college at that time.
All right.
But I was watching from Texas, and it was like the game ended at something like 1:30 in the morning Texas time.
So a guy is standing next to me. This is back when Jake Plummer throws a touchdown pass to Keith Poole, and they beat Nebraska. Scott Frost was on the field then. Guy pulls out this big old pocket knife. I mean, it wasn't just like this little itty bit. And he reaches down and he cuts out a piece of the stadium and sticks it in his pocket and runs off.
A piece of the stadium or a piece of the turf?
The turf.
Oh, okay.
The turf. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, he didn't take cement.
Yeah, I was like, what did he cut out of the side of Sun Devil Stadium? That would be a story for the ages.
I'm a dope. Okay. So, but I'm there and he's hacking up the turf. And, you know, they tore down the goalposts and they drug them down to Mill Avenue, and we found them the next day. We actually found them the next day. And Mitch Otto, who works here at Skyview,
yeah.
Mitch and I decided, along with the late Bruce Snyder, to sell the goalposts. So we actually had a welder that came out to the parking lot at the old Monty's restaurant, and we sawed up the goalposts, put them on like a plaque, and sold them for $100 a piece. It was fun. I mean, we had so much fun. But there's these people at Arizona State that are so wound up that I'm not jumping up and down for joy. And it's because, you know, when you have 20 years of ineptness and incompetence and excuse making, no, I'm not going to just turn around and say, well, you beat Oregon. Great. Yeah, Oregon's not very good. Yes, you beat Washington. It's another step forward. I'm not demeaning the victories. I'm just not sitting here in early October saying all, or mid-October saying all is well. All it takes is losing at Utah and USC and some of the same old patterns that we've seen pretty consistently for 20 plus years. If I sit here and hear what a great year it is, we're going to the Sun Bowl one more time. I mean, just get over yourself. It's a nice win and that's it. The baseball playoffs have been far better than watching NFL football for me. For me, watching baseball, because the teams are so good, the games are so good, the drama last night, Justin Turner is, look, for those of you the Diamondback fans, if you're hating on the Dodgers, you shouldn't. If you're working within the Diamondbacks organization, you have got to be thrilled to death the Dodgers are winning, because it means next year all those games when the Dodgers come here are going to be sold out. You have to be thrilled that the Cubs are even a part of it. This week, I've got Cubs hosting Dodgers at Wrigley Field. I've got Yankees hosting Astros this week. I've got Yankee Stadium and Wrigley Field this week. And every game is close. If you watched the NFL yesterday, once again, a lot of great close games. A lot of great close games. But is there a team that you look at out there and say, wow, they're just so much better than everybody else? I mean, I'm sitting there watching New England dink around with the Jets of all teams. That game was forced down our throat yesterday. I have to get Red Zone. I have to get Red Zone channel. I'm just, when I've got to sit through another Tom Brady game, although Dan Fouts was great, the Jets got completely screwed on a call in the end zone that I don't know what the referees were looking at. I really don't. So you have all the fixes in, the fixes in, and all that stuff. And then the Aaron Rodgers injury happens. And all of a sudden, while the Super Cardinals yesterday afternoon, their defense was not good in the second half. Adrian Peterson was all of that. There was a buzz. There was just an anticipation. I could not wait to see if Adrian Peterson brought something. Like when Emmett Smith came here, I felt like, Emmett Smith. But I was not one of those that grew up in Phoenix when the Cowboys were the only team here before the Cardinals. So it was a big deal that Emmett Smith rolled on in. But Emmett Smith, I went to Dallas, his return to Dallas. He got crushed down there. He just got destroyed down there. Adrian Peterson yesterday, Eric, you were at the game. Wasn't it like it had to have been a different feel?
Totally different,
different
feel.
Different vibe, different everything.
I mean, he took his first carry 8 yards, took his second carry 8 yards, and a lot of those he basically got hit after a 3 yard gain and
right.
dragged a couple guys for 2 yards and fell forward for 2 more yards, something you never saw from the Cardinals. And then an 11 yard gain and then a 27 yard touchdown. And everyone that talked after the game at the podium talked about the energy in the stadium. It rejuvenated the offense. It always helps when you have two of your starting offensive linemen who play on the left side and Alex Boone and DJ Humphreys back.
Yep.
But having an even good run game opens up everything Bruce Arians wants to do in the pass game. I mean, the Cardinals averaged 51 yards rushing a game before yesterday. Adrian Peterson almost tripled that number by himself.
Okay, but the Buccaneers were not good yesterday.
The Buccaneers were missing a couple starters on defense, but
you got to take it as it comes. It's like the kicker for Washington. The kicker for Washington's horrible.
That's not
the kicker for Washington's good, ASU doesn't win.
But that's not an ASU fault. And it's not the Cardinals' fault that the Bucs had two guys out.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right. It's no different than the Cardinals last week at Philadelphia were horrendous,
yep.
and they had nobody on their offensive line last week. And Carson Palmer got thrown around like a rag doll last week. And all of a sudden, you bring two of your starters back, and you have the energy of Adrian. I don't know if Larry Fitzgerald, whatever the water that is that he has at his guest house, whatever it is, okay, whatever he said, or if Adrian Peterson said anything to this offensive line, DJ Humphreys yesterday was really good.
Yep.
Alex Boone was really good. What I noticed in watching the game yesterday was how many times Adrian Peterson got up and was smiling and laughing and doing things like he got a personal foul for was it unsportsmanlike conduct, and it was really nothing. Okay, he patted the guy on the head. I get it. You're going to throw the flag, but you're going to let guys do campfires in the end zone for touchdowns. But you're not going to let a guy pat another guy on the head and say something to him. Figure it out. There was something about him. Even when he was getting tackled, he'd get up and smile, and he's talking to the other player, and he just was having fun yesterday. I was at a family function last night. A couple of people there were saying, well, what about all the stuff off the field with him? To be honest with you, he has addressed it. He has moved on from it. I cannot be that guy that sits there and doesn't have any ounce of forgiveness or grace. It doesn't mean they were. My family members, they weren't. They just asked, you know, what do you think about? I have not thought about it since he's come here. Eric, have you thought about it at all?
No, not until I was reminded on social media.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that don't like the NFL now, and that's fine. That's their right. I'm not watching the NFL because of the anthem protests and all that stuff. That's their prerogative. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with people that don't want to watch Adrian Peterson or Michael Vick. Don't tell me what to watch or what to not cheer for, though, or what to not look at and say, okay, let's talk about this a little bit deeper. All right. I feel as though that forgiveness and grace is part of life. You have to have that, especially if I work with Eric. Eric has to have forgiveness and grace towards me. I have to have forgiveness and grace towards him, and we somehow figure it out. Yesterday, because of the Cardinals and how they played yesterday and the injury to Aaron Rodgers on the other side, I'm going to get deeper into that because all of a sudden, friends, folks, if you look around the NFL, it's really interesting. And even here in Arizona, it's just interesting. Paula is coming up, the professor, at 10:35. We'll talk about ASU and U of A, their wins and where they are now, the baseball playoffs. And what else do I have on my list today? That's about it. The NBA season, regular season, opens Wednesday, or tomorrow night, rather. It's early October, mid-October. It doesn't feel like the start of the NBA season, so I'm not going to do much on the Suns. And the Coyotes just got waxed, I mean, embarrassed all weekend. So we'll be football and baseball heavy today. And whatever else shows up on the radar, that's what we do. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week. We appreciate the partnership with them, and we're back after this timeout. All right, so the Paula's in about 10 minutes. So the NFL and what happened yesterday, and I'm going to lead with the NFL. There's some things that are happening around the league this morning that I think are interesting. But the arrival of Adrian Peterson to the Arizona Cardinals doesn't mean much of anything here in October, other than they may have found the answer at running back for long term. They may have. I don't know if it's just Tampa Bay, as Eric pointed out, didn't have their best defensive front up there. I don't know how healthy this offensive line is going to stay. I think if you look at the NFC, the best team so far to me has been Philadelphia. And we saw what Philadelphia did to the Cardinals. It was not a contest. One of the other top teams was the Green Bay Packers until yesterday. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt much. And if you look at Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Packers, he has had Brett Favre and he has had Aaron Rodgers. And yesterday Aaron Rodgers got thrown to the ground. Whether it was a late hit or not, I thought it was a little late. But Aaron Rodgers is now done. I don't know if he's done for the season. I don't know if he's done for 10 weeks. I don't know. But Aaron Rodgers, and he wasn't happy yesterday with what transpired. But all of a sudden, if you look at the NFC, Detroit yesterday got absolutely annihilated by New Orleans. Atlanta lost to Miami. Miami, they lost to Jay Cutler yesterday. Go down the list of teams in the NFC and tell me where your superhero Cardinals are located at. They're not the worst team. Certainly, they're in the middle of the pack. I think Peter and I talked about it last week. The Cardinals have every opportunity here. Now that Aaron Rodgers is out, and especially if he's out for the season, this is no disrespect towards Brett Hundley, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's just a fact that Green Bay is not going to be as good. And so, you know, Brett's going to be out there, former Chandler High star quarterback at UCLA. We've seen Brett through the years. Seen him grow, and now he has his chance, at least for now. Yeah, Tony Romo coming out of the booth is fun to talk about here on a show. Tony Romo on Thursday Night Football, I heard him say it, and as he said it, I'm like, okay, that's going to stir everybody up. Yeah, I was one of those watching last Thursday night. And Romo, Jim Nantz said, in the booth for good or whatever, and Romo says, well, you never know, I'm here right now. It was one of those, like, okay, that's a really interesting comment to throw out there. That's a really interesting way to put things.
I think Romo is an interesting analyst because sometimes he doesn't think before he speaks, and you appreciate that bluntness.
Yes.
Because he's not a robot. He's not going to just methodically tell you about the game and things about formations. He's going to speak out of turn. He's not always going to – he's going to speak over Jim Nantz.
Yes.
But – sometimes he's thinking out loud even during the play.
Yes.
And I just think it's okay. Like, you know, he's the complete opposite, Brad, of what Phil Simms was. Phil Simms, professional, well-spoken, been doing it for years. But they wanted someone younger. They wanted someone a little bit edgier. They wanted someone a little bit more raw. And Romo checks all three of those boxes.
For everybody that ripped you, CBS, Eric, and there were a lot of them, how could you give him this prime, primo piece of real estate?
Yeah, with no analytic experience in the background?
So I saw a story last week. The New York Times did a big piece on Romo, and they quoted Chris Collinsworth in the story. And Collinsworth said that we are broadcasting to grandmas. That's who our broadcast is directed towards.
The NBC broadcast.
The NBC broadcast is directed towards grandmas. We want grandma to watch the game because we're already going to have the football fan there. It's an interesting way to put it. Brent Musburger has been very critical of Tony Romo. He's the only voice that's been critical of Tony Romo. So I don't know if Tony Romo is looking at getting out of the booth and going back out onto the field. It's a pretty good situation he'd be walking into. Tony Romo, former Cowboy, now on the field for the Green Bay Packers. You know, Fox would love it. The numbers would be astronomical in an NFC market. If you're a Cardinal fan, you'd probably sit there and say, no, no, please don't go there. Don't help that team out. If you're in the Brett Hundley camp, it's, hey, what about our guy? Just give him a chance. Give him a shot. Colin Kaepernick's name. Peter brought up Colin Kaepernick in his column today that the Packers should explore Colin Kaepernick. Once again, Kaepernick being shut out of the NFL, and he's filed a grievance now. And I don't know what he's going to really have to stand on legally. I've only seen the story here in the last hour, and I plan on talking to agents today and some people on sports law that are much smarter than I'll ever be on this stuff and say, okay, walk me through this. Because on the surface, you could say, well, nobody signed him. He's got a case. No, no, no. You have to go a lot deeper than that. So Colin Kaepernick in Green Bay, Tony Romo in Green Bay. Bottom line is that's a great position. If Romo were going to come out for any place other than if Dak Prescott went down, grabbed his knee, and was gone, it would seem to me that that would be the ideal landing spot for Tony Romo. But if you're a Cardinal fan today, and you look at how the season is now shaping up. So they go to London next week, and then they have the bye week. And you look around the division, and is Seattle great shakes? No, once again, their offensive line's not good. But I'm always of the opinion Pete Carroll is not even caring that much about September and October. He is one of those coaches that has figured out it is the war of attrition. And so he is going to have his team ready to go when it is playoff time. That's just how he's wired. Some people want to see great results in October, September and October. I'm one of those that's like, yeah, that's fine, but get back to me when it is the playoffs because I need to see if my team can really get it done. So you go, I'm looking at the league right now. The Giants are horrible. Okay, somehow they beat Denver last night. The Rams are sitting there after beating Jacksonville, and they went down to Jacksonville, and they got it done. I think the NFL gave the Rams a big advantage over the Cardinals. You may think this is a bit of nothing. No, the Rams flew all the way to Jacksonville this week. And then they played their game, and now they fly to London. It's an 11-hour flight for the Cardinals. For the Rams, it's only about five and a half. That's an advantage. I don't care how you skin it. It's not like the league said, well, we're going to send them to Jacksonville, and then we're going to have them fly all the way home. No, they're probably already there. So it's just little things I look at with the league. They want to see the Rams do well. They want to see the Chargers do well. Go through the rest of the NFC. The Bears won a game with Mitchell Trubisky. They won a game at Baltimore. The Redskins? Detroit's not good. Detroit yesterday gave up 50. And so, you know, Minnesota's probably the team. If you look at a team that's going to benefit most from Aaron Rodgers being gone, it would have to be Minnesota. But I would make the argument, sitting here today, that it does help the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals are in a division you would look at and say, well, I don't see a wild card coming out of here. Well, all of a sudden, you tell me the rest of that division with the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, no Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't work out, Tampa Bay's not good. I think the most disappointing part about yesterday is it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, not Jameis Winston, that put up all those points on the Cardinal defense yesterday. You can jump up and down about Adrian Peterson, but that was a disappointment yesterday. The Cardinals defense was a disappointment. Yeah, there were some nice individual plays. You don't give up 30-plus points at home to a team that's on the ground scratching fleas like a dog, because that's where Tampa Bay was yesterday. And they let him back in the game. We let him off the hook. So, you know, now go all the way to London and play the Rams. We could get all excited about what Adrian Peterson did yesterday, but will the length of the season, will the offensive line stick together? All the wills and mights and maybes. This doesn't mean that all is fixed here in Arizona. It doesn't. It just means for 1 week there's interest. Again, we are a market, unlike a lot of markets, where on 1 week everything is great, the next week fire the coach. Or it's Carson Palmer's old, even though Carson Palmer yesterday just absolutely shredded Tampa. Like, Eric, how old did Carson Palmer look yesterday in that first half? I mean, he looked he looked so...
About 24 years old.
Yeah. He looked like he had just come off and come out. It was... I would take that Carson Palmer for the next 3 years.
It's amazing what happens when you have a little bit of time to throw the ball and the linebackers aren't creeping up to the line of scrimmage because you have no run game.
No, I get it. But do you feel like Adrian is going to be able to do this all season long?
No, I don't think so.
Well, what's your expectation?
Somewhere probably
80 yards?
Probably somewhere in the middle. But 80 yards is fine.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes.
If you can get 80 yards a game, that's great. He's a threat.
And you also have to look at it because of his lack of touches in New Orleans. He's actually a fresh player.
No doubt. And he definitely had that crazed look in his eye when he took the field yesterday. I mean,
no.
He was running angry.
Steve Keim has found this method of let me go. And it doesn't always work out with Steve Keim. Steve Keim is not afraid to go make a trade in season. He's not afraid to go part with resources. He's not afraid to go take a player that has not been playing, who could be angry, who could be bitter, could be a bad guy in the locker room, and they are not. You know, that's the thing, is he's able to find guys that are hungry, guys that have an edge, guys that have something they want to prove. Guys, we are wired like that, right? Oh, you're no good. Oh, yeah? Well, let's see about that. Oh, you're not going to make – oh, really? So a guy like Adrian Peterson is standing on the sidelines in New Orleans hearing all along. And last year, Minnesota, he can't play. He's not any good. He's washed up. He comes out here, and yesterday he's running around like a 17-year-old in high school on senior night. It was great. Paula Bovin's next. Switching gears, the professor on Todd Graham. Does Ray Anderson just need to step up to the podium and say, we are not moving Todd Graham out of here? Do we need to go to that? And the same thing at U of A. We'll get into that with Paula on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Paula Bovin joins us now. News and notes from the professor at Arizona State University at Cronkite. She is going into the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame in just 2 weeks. I saw you had a dress rehearsal for that. What do they make you do at a dress rehearsal for the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I just had a brief meeting with them about just kind of how it all unfolds, and they're going to show a video, which is kind of cool. I get walk-up music.
Really?
When I go up to, yeah. So I'm just stressing over that because, you know, I want to make it good, but I don't want to make it embarrassing. So.
Who's presenting you? Do you have a presenter?
I don't think we have presenters. I think it's maybe the people there. That part I'm not sure about.
All right. If you were... I could think of a few people that would be good presenters for you. So, but this is cool. This is in 2 weeks. Paula's going into the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame in November 2nd?
First.
November 1st. I should remember that. All right.
Yes.
Let's get down to brass tacks here, Paula. So
right. You
are Ray Anderson and you are Michael Crow. And the fans and the students are on the field as ASU is winning over Washington. The game is over. And you turn to each other and you say, darn it, this is our coach. We're going to have to stand up at the podium and not darn it and we're disappointed. It's this is our guy. There's no debate. This is our guy. Do they need to now do that off of the win over Washington? What is your view on that?
No, I don't think you can do that in this day and age of high salaries and things can change at, the drop of a hat. I was hugely impressed with this victory. You know, it was how prepared this team, how much this team took advantage of the bye week. And I think that's a huge credit to Todd Graham because
yes.
I think you learn a lot about, you know, coaches, X's and O's and things like that in the bye week. So that was huge. But it doesn't necessarily define what's going to happen for the rest of the season. I think the thing that you're saying will take at least a few more weeks of what we see before you do that. You know, I mean, I think this team's actually going to win some more games. They beat the number 5 team. Now people can crack on, you know, Washington being overrated, West Coast football, which seems to be a popular topic these days. But I just don't think he can make that leap, Brad.
Okay, so I'm not going to make that leap, but I will say that if Washington just has a kicker that can go 30 yards, it's a tie game. If Washington doesn't have a lineman who is completely losing his mind right in front of a referee and throwing somebody down for a holding call, they lose the game. And so when I point this stuff out, I get ASU fans, they get all worked up and all, you're hating. No, it's just, as you well put it, it's one game. Yeah, it was the fifth-ranked team in the country, and I'm not going to disrespect that they won the game, but I look at it as how do they make improvements? And clearly Todd and his coordinators have made improvements. The tackling, which was non-existent, all the blitzing that they used to do, there was very little of that on Saturday night. And I'm looking at it saying, okay, who got into Todd? Todd on the air, Todd on the sidelines, which I have heard has been a huge concern of Michael Crow, a huge concern, more so even than losing and winning games. Todd's not dropping F-bombs. Todd's on camera on ESPN after the game is over praising God. I mean, it was like, okay, what's going on here? There's transformation going on all over the place.
You know, it's been remarkable to me on both sides of the ball. I mean, you talk about how many games had we seen just awful tackling with this team?
Yes.
How many times did their, you know, secondary look slower than the opposition? How many times with that offense had it just fallen flat? And, you know, I think it's a credit to the coordinators they have in place now. And, you know, Manny Wilkins, something I never really appreciated enough was how difficult it was to play with different coordinators every year. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that slowed who he became. So, yeah, I am really impressed with how they've got their act together. I think it's hard to do psychologically. I mean, you're dealing with college students. When you're down, everybody's picking you to finish last. You had a bad loss. Very impressed with where they went with this game. And interested to see if they can build off it because, you know, another tough game coming up this weekend.
Okay, so I think the whole thing about the coordinators, back on that, because I agree with what you're saying, it's just the day and age that we're in now in college football. Billy Napier is not going to stay here as Todd Graham's coordinator. Billy Napier wants to be a head coach, right? I mean, this is what you just have to get used to. And maybe you are better served to go find the coach that is in his 60s and 70s on that side of the football who's not looking to move on.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you're right. It's the nature. I think the best you can hope for is, you know, you're not going to get somebody staying here. I think it's rare to get someone to stay 10-plus years or whatever. But I think the goal is to try to make it a comfortable enough situation and pay them well enough that the opportunity will come in that they want maybe 3 or 4 years. You know, you got to make that right hire. And I think it's a really difficult area to navigate because you're right, most of these assistants and coordinators want to be head coaches, but I think if you can you know, like Norvell, if you can kind of cultivate that relationship, pay him well, and maybe spot talent early on, that's not going to get that offer right away. But it is. It's a really tricky balance that they've got to adjust. I don't know about going necessarily with someone older. I mean, I guess that's certainly a possibility, but I don't think it's sort of the cure-all for this issue.
Yeah, I was out in the – I got invited to the game by a friend, and his dad, I was talking to them before the game and as we were walking in even – and I said, so what happens if Graham wins this game? And does it come down to the U of A game? And the dad said, yes, essentially. It does come down to the U of A game. There's just people that are wired that way around Arizona State that you can go beat Washington in mid-November, and it's so what? And I do think that is the space where if Ray and Michael came out and gave Todd that you are our guy right now, they're just in a really tough spot, Paul, at the end of the day on this one, because they put him into a corner, in my view, last offseason by not backing him and saying some things that were inflammatory. So he could go win at Utah. He could go win against USC. But if he loses against Tucson, if he loses the U of A, there are going to be people that still don't care about this stuff in October. It's just the way it is here.
I agree. And, you know, granted, I did not grow up in the heart and the firestorm of this rivalry, so I appreciate its intensity, but I've always thought it was dumb to make a decision based on one game.
I agree with you on that.
I didn't go to these schools, and so I respect that part of it, but I don't think it's healthy for a football program when its executives and its administrators are making decisions based on one game.
Talking with Paula Bovin, of course, with the Arizona Republic for years and years, going into the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame and the professor at ASU. Adrian Peterson comes in, and it was just a good weekend all the way around. I even left Khalil Tate out of this, what he's doing down at U of A, but It was a good football weekend. Do you anticipate what they've gotten out of Adrian Peterson to continue?
I do, and I think it's partly Adrian Peterson, and it's also partly their line is getting figured out a little bit more, you know, and I think that was a huge part of it. But I think he, you know, in addition to just, I mean, that kind of guy is what you want on your team. But I also think emotionally having him there seemed to rejuvenate this team a little bit. Mm-hmm. And to have it happen so quickly where he showed success so quickly in the game, it was a different aura. You could just see a different sort of body language with this team. And I know that sounds cheesy when you've got a bunch of adults playing this game of football, but I really, you could almost see some where it was heading. And so I thought, I mean, I think this is just turning out to be a terrific decision, and but also you got to credit the offensive line and where mm-hmm. they're going with this, and I think that having that a little bit more in place helped a lot as well.
Did you notice the enthusiasm and the schoolyard actions of Adrian Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald, the two of them together, just jumping around and smiling and laughing? Like, there was just a different feel around those two guys yesterday.
No, yeah, I know. You know, and Larry has talked about Adrian in the past and their friendship, and I think for Larry, who I've always sensed has a sort of small, you know, everybody loves Larry, but I think his circle of friends is small, and
I agree.
Think for him to have Peterson here, and you know, I think he's living with him, right, or in the guest house.
Yeah, he's in the guest house.
Yes. I think that's probably great for both of them, and so it's really turned out well, I think, in that regard.
All right. Anything else in your wheelhouse this week?
No. I just, you know, you mentioned U of A and their terrific quarterback, and I'm interested to see where that program's going, because are we to start thinking maybe Rich Rod has turned the corner with that program? That's what's intriguing me right now.
So they have Cal this week at Cal.
And
I think that's a very winnable game. And so if you're Hickey, the AD down there, are you in the same boat as Ray is up here? Are both Rich Rod and Todd going to make it? Because the Pac-12 South, I don't look at it top to bottom and say, wow, my gosh, you know, Utah's a 2-point conversion away from beating USC. It's not like it's great shakes, Paula.
No, I agree. I would say I always have felt Rich Rod's a little more comfortable in Tucson than Graham is up here. I just feel like there's a little more patience, maybe because they've considered themselves a basketball school for years. Maybe, you know, they've seen some of the good things Rich Rodriguez has done, but I think they'd have to have a pretty bad season for anything to happen with him, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
All right, I'll see you later today. You going to be in?
I'll be in.
I'll see you later today. There's Paula Bovin.
See you then.
At Cronkite, getting it done. The professor, 20-plus years at the Arizona Republic as columnist and great around ASU, and she's going to the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame in 2 weeks, so it's going to be terrific for her. All right, on the other side, I'm going to swing back over on the baseball playoffs, a little bit on the Cardinals, and some college football, too. So there's just so much going on. It's good stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Our television show, 16 airings a week on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate our partners. Please support them as they support us. We're back after this timeout. Let's do a little bit more of a deep dive before we get out of here on the coming weekend, because Arizona State is going to go up to Utah. And at Utah, I'm looking at the Utah game, and this is one that for the Arizona State fan, it's a day game. Hallelujah, right? Like, we got the word just about a half hour ago that ASU is going to play USC at 7:45 at night in 2 weeks. Those 7:45 games are hard. They just are. They're hard for people to get out to. They're hard to get fans to stay the whole time. So it's a middle of a day game. Fans are going to be able to fly up there, check it out, and then come back. But I think Utah, you know, I saw the game on tape this morning of how they played against USC, and they ended up losing on a 2-point conversion. It's a winnable game. It's another winnable game. And then you have over on the U of A side, they go up to Cal this weekend. It's Charlie Regal. Our buddy Charlie's up there coaching with Cal. But Cal's no great shakes. U of A could be 5-2. You know, it would be great. It would be so great if these two teams could just win out and actually have first place on the line a month from now, when everybody thought back, you know, at the start of the year that both coaches are going to be fired. And then the loser of this game is going to get so much nonsense thrown their way. But it is shaping up to be much more interesting now that Arizona State's beat Washington. Eric, you look at the schedule of ASU. Do you see a loss?
Yes.
Okay, where? This week?
Maybe.
I think they lose this week.
I think USC at home is a game they're probably not going to be favored to win, but it wouldn't shock me if they won.
I think they beat USC.
Okay.
I'm not all that on Sam Darnold, are you?
No, but it's still USC, and they still have lots of playmakers. I mean,
they have lots of playmakers?
Sure.
Flores is probably the only one that's jumped out at me. And I've seen USC play a handful of times this year. I don't think that they're as loaded with the guys that they've had in years past, the receiver in the secondary.
And I'm not totally drinking the ASU defense Kool-Aid. I mean, they had an extra week to prepare for Washington, and not to take anything away from what ASU did.
But you are.
But I think I told you this morning, I mean, that Washington's offense no-showed. Like, there's just no other way to put it. Yes, they probably should have been at 13.
Right.
But ASU's defense is nothing, especially the back half of their defense, is filled with inexperience. So I was shocked Saturday. I was shocked at what happened.
We've got USC Notre Dame this weekend. Haley's going to that game. I'm actually asked for some swag back from her on that one. And Michigan Penn State's this weekend.
On paper, those look like good games, but, I mean, if Michigan's offense can keep up with Saquon Barkley, that will be a big question. So,
I heard before San Diego State played this week in the Fiesta Bowl was looking at them.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one.
Not anymore.
That's a tough one. You got to start looking around at the Fiesta Bowl and who's going to make sense coming out here for that one.
Well, it'll be a Group of Five team, right?
Yeah. And the best Group of Five team is Mike Norvell's got one loss. They play Houston this week.
Yeah, Central Florida and South Florida are both possibilities.
And Central beat
Central
Memphis.
Florida is coached by Scott Frost, and South Florida is coached by Charlie Strong.
And Scott Frost is going to quit there and be the next coach at Nebraska.
It would make sense.
Even though I've had some fans at ASU say he should be the guy that comes here because of his ties to Oregon, which I think is too much of a reach.
If Todd Graham gets let go. Oh, wow. This is way too much to converse in the next two or 3 minutes.
It's a month away. Yeah.
Season's flying. Always does.
It always does. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. If you're just finding us on both sides, we are here every day doing this. The show repeats. For those of you that have been long-time viewers, we appreciate that. Our television show over on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings a week. We appreciate our partners. Without them, we do not do this. We are self-funded. So partnerships are a big part of what we do. If you are watching this, please support our partners. Eric produces. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. I am Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great Monday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.